Power is influence. Influence impacts relationships. Relationships drive behavior. Behavior is a function of the person and the situation. Behavior is fueled by the heart. Behavior is fueled by the heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we talk about the heart this morning for a few minutes, I want us to recognize I'm not talking about the blood pump, but rather the seat of sensibility. And as we consider the anatomy of a Christian soldier, as we consider and understand a Christian soldier's heart, his mind, his focus, our hearts go back to what Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4 specifically. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're not just talking about any soldier. We recognize that warfare is real, and we'll talk about that briefly in a minute. We're talking about a good soldier. See, one of the things in this world in which we live, those adjectives are important. You can be a soldier. You can be a terrible soldier, an unfaithful soldier. We're talking about a good soldier, and not just any soldier, a soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, no man that warreth entangleth himself, gets caught up with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So today I want to encourage you, brethren. I want to encourage you to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I hope we can increase our understanding of a soldier, a good soldier's heart condition. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verses 18. Again, we think about our natural senses. But as we think about this power lesson this morning, this powerful fellowship this morning, Paul writes to the Church of Christ at Ephesus in Ephesians 1 and verse 18, the eyes of your understanding. You think of eyes, you think of the natural sight. But we're talking about what we understand. Paul says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So we need to be encouraged and enlightened so as good soldiers of Jesus Christ to recognize that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Brethren, God has invested in us. God has invested in us, and we need to yield a positive return. Let me take a step back. As we think about a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've all heard the saying, brethren, you are what you eat. If you have a steady diet, and I'm not calling any, I'm going to look straight ahead in case someone says he's preaching to me. But if you have a steady diet of junk food, you must suffer the physical consequences, implications of a steady diet of junk. And so it is spiritually. If we have a steady diet of fellowship, a steady diet of prayer, a steady diet as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, of his word, a steady diet of service, what will that do? Well, brethren, it will keep us in good spiritual shape. We will be in good spiritual shape. You've heard of physical fitness, but we need good spiritual fitness as well. Because Paul told Timothy in our opening scripture, endure, endure. We hear about the Christian race, but I want to talk about spiritual warfare. And if we need to endure, if we are to endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to be in good spiritual shape. But recognize the heart, the mind, brethren, is a receptacle. And as we think about that receptacle, that which it receives should complement the purpose of its existence. I'll be pointing here quite a bit. And for the benefit of any type of recording, I'm pointing to the heart, the mind, the seat of sensibility, the receptacle. What goes into it should complement the purpose of its existence. God designed food for thought, the word of God, understanding that which nourishes the soul. And as we look at various scriptures very quickly and certainly not exhaustively, as we think about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's not junk food. That's the kind of diet we need to have. As we think about what Paul said to the Church of Christ at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Again, we literally, Proverbs 23 and 7, again, we literally are what we think. A good soldier of Jesus Christ has to be focused, has to have a steady diet of the good things that will nourish us, to strengthen us so we can engage in proper spiritual warfare. But it's interesting, evil thoughts, evil actions. Garbage in, garbage out. You get that. In the very beginning, in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw that the thoughts, the imaginations, the heart of man was evil continually. Jesus lets us know, Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20, that which defiles a man, for out of the heart, rather, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things, Jesus says, that defile a man, that pollute, that stain, that alter the true value of who we are as God's people. The heart, it all goes back to the heart. But why, Brother Nelson, on this Saturday morning, you seem a little excited about the heart? Why is this so important? Because, brethren, we're at war. Brethren, we are at war. Warfare requires strategy. Warfare requires equipment. Warfare requires leadership. Warfare requires faithfulness. My older brother, I'm the little brother, my older brother is here today. And when he served in the United States Marine Corps, they have this Latin phrase and it's condensed, semper fi, short for semper fidelis, which means always, not sometimes, not when lives are on the line, not when a nation's security is at stake. It means always faithful, semper fidelis. Wouldn't that be great in the Lord's church? If every brother, if every soldier's heart was so focused, so aligned with the word of God, that there would be no question about family leadership, which leads to church leadership, which leads to citizenship, which leads to other souls coming to Christ. The anatomy of a Christian soldier, a heart focused on God, a heart focused on service. But what is a soldier's charge? And certainly you may hear this throughout the day, and I hope you will, as we reference Ephesians 6, as we define what warfare we truly are in. And it hurts my heart, it breaks my heart that oftentimes we spend our energy and our time and our heart is focused on others as opposed to Christ. The Bible lets us know in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, a Christian soldier is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, I guarantee you there's at least two or three brothers, if I were to challenge you to an arm wrestling contest, you would take off your jacket, roll up your sleeves, and be ready to compete. That's great. Different time, different place. But the bottom line today, and what we need to encourage each other to do, is to fight together, shoulder to shoulder, face forward, hearts focused, because we have a common enemy, and that enemy is not each other. Amen, brethren. As we war as a Christian soldier, it is not our strength, it's the Lord's strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power, the strength of his might. And so as we continue with that, Jesus recognizes that. I mentioned that three or four of you would be ready to arm wrestle me. But now some of you can't fight. So now, that was funny. So as we think about, if there was a danger, some brethren run and hide as opposed to understanding the necessity to fight. And brethren, today spiritually, it is not for us to run and hide. When someone talks about marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman, we can't run and hide. When we talk about leadership in the Lord's church, we cannot run and hide. See, if our hearts are focused, we need to be ready to stand. Jesus says in John chapter 18 and verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, then would my servants fight." A spiritual kingdom requires a spiritual defense. A physical kingdom requires a physical defense. This warfare, this battle, Ephesians 6 and about verse 12, this battle today, brethren, is not a physical one. The warfare I'm talking about, that we'll talk about this entire day, is about a Christian soldier engaging in spiritual warfare. And the common enemy, clearly, is Satan. Amen. Satan. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, Paul lets us know, just paraphrasing for time's sake, you know, it's not this battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. You know, evil in high places, if you will. So, brethren, it's a spiritual battle. And our enemy, Satan, what does he seek to do? He goes about as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5, 8, you know it. As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It is his sole intent, S-O-U-L and S-O-L-E, for us to lose our souls. Brethren, that cannot happen. As we think about who God is and whose we are, we need to recognize how Satan operates. He ambushes as a roaring lion, as I've said this many times, locally and across this nation. When you think about how a lion hunts, all the brethren that are here, some more seasoned than others. And what that lion does, that lion looks, and as, let's say it's a pack of gazelle that are running, the lion is looking for the one that's the quickest. Corey Glover's out front. David Sproul right behind him, or right beside him, just as fast. What the lion's looking for is that grumbling, murmuring, complaining brother that's limping. That's the one the lion seeks to devour. And again, he wants Glover, he wants Sproul, he wants you. But brethren, as we talk about the Word of God this morning, Satan ambushes, but Satan also recruits. Satan ambushes and Satan recruits. 2 Corinthians, run there quickly. 2 Corinthians 11. I don't know, that clock is too, it better be just as fast for everybody else. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 13. I got a 2-minute warning. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, don't be amazed, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, look at this, it is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, his workers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. A Christian soldier, a good Christian soldier, must endure. A good Christian soldier must persevere. A good Christian soldier must digest and intake consistently that which will allow us to grow, to mature, to develop, because a Christian soldier's duty is to stand despite. The definition of resilience is to press on despite an obstacle, to fight through despite challenges, to finish despite hardship. And as we think about the Word of God today, we turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse is 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse is 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58. I want everybody to get there. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast." Brethren, hold on. You'll be questioned, you'll be challenged, you'll be mocked, you'll be ridiculed, even by those you love. Steadfast, unmovable, always, not sometimes. We don't need intermittent brothers. Always faithful, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I will end as I began. Power is influence. Influence impacts relationships. Relationships drive behavior. Behavior is a function of the person and the situation. Behavior is fueled by the heart. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Thank you.